First Five by The Pharaoh Fixer, read by Rhea 314. 1. It doesn't mean anything, the first time Derek kisses Stiles. Well, it doesn't mean anything to Derek, Stiles thinks. It means something to Stiles, as all first kisses must mean something to people who receive them, even if it's just to file away as a mistake or underwhelming. There is nothing underwhelming about being kissed for the very first time by Derek Hale. Whether or not it's a mistake, well, Stiles is too afraid to ask, and Derek doesn't say anything about it, so he thinks maybe it's okay. They're about to die, or rather they think they're about to die. It's not a new occurrence. In fact, Stiles is soon going to have to move on to his toes to count the number of times he's been convinced he's about to die. It turns out, though, that even continued exposure to life-or-death experiences doesn't take off the adrenaline edge of a whole new Hail Mary pass of their continued existence. The alphas are closing in, and once again, just like so many times before, Stiles is stuck here with Derek. And he spares the thought to wonder whether they get into trouble because they're here together, or whether it's because they both tend to get in trouble that they end up together so often. Doesn't matter, he tells himself. Won't affect whether they come out of this intact. Stiles, Derek says, and Stiles shakes his head. No, if you give me some sort of pep talk here about dying an honorable death, I swear to God I will kill you myself. Stiles says, because they've already talked over the plan. They've got a few seconds to kill before they split up, but there's nothing left to say here. My tombstone will say, here lies Stiles, spastic friend, terrible son, died never having been kissed. So you and your werewolf code of whatever can go fuck itself. Derek turns and stares at him for a moment, and Stiles glances down at his phone to see that they've got like 30 seconds before the charges blow and they split and make a run for it. And when he looks back up, mouth open, to irritate Derek one last time, he has half a second to take a breath before Derek is on him, big hands cradling his head as he leans forward and presses his lips against Stiles' mouth. Stiles leans into it automatically, because he always leans into Derek automatically. It's a thing he's mostly tried to ignore, because Derek is dangerous, and Stiles has the worst self-preservation instinct ever. It works here, though. Works now, as his hands flail up towards Derek's neck, reaching to touch before falling and just kind of grabbing at the front of Derek's shirt as Derek deepens the kiss, catching Stiles' lower lip between his teeth before Stiles automatically licks with his tongue and lets out a sigh. Derek's thumbs caress Stiles' cheekbones for a second, and Stiles has half a second's thought that he wants to feel Derek's stubble under his hands before Derek pulls away again. Stiles wants to keep leaning forward, but he's got some dignity left. Well, a debatably minuscule amount. So he just stays where he is, as Derek lets go of his face and takes a few steps back. Almost time, Derek says breathlessly. And Stiles takes a moment to wonder at that, because he has seen Derek sprint and jump and fight without ever losing his breath before. My tombstone will still say I'm a virgin, Stiles says, his own voice almost unrecognizably rough as he reaches up and touches his lips. And then the charges go off, and Stiles takes off in one direction, and Derek takes off in the other. And once the pack is all together again, this time hiding out in an old abandoned jack-in-the-box, there are too many people around, and Stiles thinks it would be weird to thank Derek anyways, so they just don't say anything. 2. Stiles is pretty sure he once saw an X-Files episode like this. I can't remember what the monster was, though. Stiles says as he shoves his clothes into the IKEA dresser, glancing back to see Derek scowling at the duffel bag he tossed on the bed. Something underground? I don't know, I'll Google it. I highly doubt that a random X-Files episode will help us with what's going on right now, Derek replies, pulling out several light blue button-ups, like they might explode. You have to look like a normal business dude, Stiles explains, grabbing the shirts and walking over to the closet to hang them up. I got you these. You can't just wear your leather jacket and wife beater every day. The jig will be up before it even starts. You're not dressing any different, Derek protests. Yeah, because I'm supposed to be some wild young art student, Styles explains. And you're my sugar daddy. Come on, it's not like this is easy on me either. I have to call my dad every night and lie to him about being on a camping trip with Scott. First of all, please don't ever say the word sugar daddy in my presence again, Derek says, pinching the bridge of his nose. Second of all, this wasn't my idea. Yeah, it was Allison's idea, Styles agrees. But you have to admit, if you'd had a better one, we'd be doing that. But we don't, so here we are. And before you start complaining about how it's me here and not someone else, may I remind you that Jackson, Scott, and Boyd are all in serious relationships, and Isaac refused point blank to pretend to be your live-in boyfriend because you're like a second father to him and it would be too icky. Derek grunts, as though he doesn't want to agree with Styles, but he doesn't have a counter-argument. So, do you think you can... Derek says, as Styles finishes unpacking their stuff into the prefurbished apartment. If you ask me to make you a sandwich, I swear to God I will lace it with wolfsbane. Styles snaps, as he walks back out into the living room of their newly rented 14th floor apartment. It's in one of the newest sets of buildings built in downtown Beacon Hills, where three couples had recently been killed under mysterious and possibly supernatural circumstances.
I was just going to ask if you wanted to go over files again, but...
Derek breaks off and there's a knock on the door. They stare at each other before Derek walks over to open it.
Hi!
An eager young woman says, as soon as Derek gets the door open. She walks in before he can invite her, and a man follows behind. They're dressed in matching blue and salmon, and Styles tries to downplay a wince. He tells himself that the student he's supposed to be playing would have the same reaction.
You must be the new neighbors. We're the Carlsons. I'm Jenna and he's Kenneth. We're just across the hall in 1427B.
Oh, right, Derek says, holding out his hand to shake each of theirs. He gives Styles a look and Styles walks over, forces himself not to twitch, when Derek wraps his left arm around Styles' waist. Styles shakes the Carlsons' hands and smiles.
I'm Derek Hammond and this is Styles O'Connor.
Nice to meet you both, Styles says, and watches them grin in unison. It's creepy, Styles thinks, which is saying something considering he's the one with a werewolf wrapped around his body.
So, how long have you two been, you know?
Jenna asks, gesturing between them. Styles doesn't roll his eyes, but it's a near thing.
Well, a few years, I guess,
Derek says awkwardly. And Styles wraps his own arm around Derek's broad shoulders. It's the whole thing with my dad not really approving. You don't want to hear about it, Styles chimes in. This is our first place together, though. Just starting out. New life and all that.
Oh, Kenneth says, finally looking interested. Well, I'm sure we'd love to hear all about it. You two should come over for dinner tonight.
That sounds great, doesn't it, sweetie?
Styles asks, and absolutely doesn't flinch when Derek digs his fingers into Styles' side.
Great,
Derek says through gritted teeth.
Whatever you want, babe.
Styles turns to deliver another scathing pet name, but Derek swoops down and kisses him. Just a slight press of lips before backing away again with a sly grin, and Styles clutches tighter at Derek's shirt as he wrinkles his nose and bites his lip on a comment about personal boundaries.
Oh, that is just so sweet, Jenna says with wide eyes. Well, you must be eager to christen the place, so we'll just let you guys settle in. Come by at 7, okay?
Okay, Styles says, still staring at Derek.
Great, Derek says.
Super, Kenneth says, as he and Jenna step back out of the apartment. And don't worry, these walls are soundproofed. The door swings shut, and Styles takes his hand away from Derek's shoulder and takes a few steps back.
I'm gonna go call Scott to tell him we've made first contact, Styles says.
Good, I'll just check out the kitchen, Derek says.
Awesome, Styles says, and he absolutely does not run away.
He just retreats to the bedroom at a completely normal pace. 3. Later, Styles will wonder if their third kiss was something that even happened. It's not until years later that he'll get the courage to ask Derek about it and find out it did.
Styles is the bait. Not set by Derek, but for Derek. They've long since passed the point in their friendship where Derek would consider using Styles to draw out supernatural nasties, for all that Styles is alluringly human. No, Styles is used this time to draw Derek out, and Derek falls into the trap exactly as expected. What is less expected by Styles' erstwhile kidnappers is the plethora of other werewolves, human hunters, and even law enforcement that show up along with him. But none of that can fix what's already been done to Styles. He is grateful they've propped him up, because he's pretty sure he'd be choking on his own blood if they hadn't. Not that it would be to their advantage if he died before Derek had shown up. Although Styles listens to various screams, gunshots, growls, and explosions going on in the background, none of this has been to their advantage. Derek is the one who finds him, who cuts the ropes binding his hands behind his back, who gathers Styles up in his arms and shouts to some unseen person behind them to call an ambulance. "What, did you get caught in traffic or something?" Styles asks, grinning. Because really, how else are you supposed to react in a situation like this?
"Or something,"
Derek says. And Styles can feel he's slipping away, like noise and color is fading in and out, and he thinks Derek might be saying his name. He thinks he reaches up and kisses Derek, thinks he curls a blood-stained hand into Derek's hair like he's wanted to for a while, like he might tuck his face against Derek's neck. "It's tradition," Styles mumbles. And then there's more shouting, but he lets it fade out along with the last of his vision. When he wakes up in the hospital, his dad is asleep in the chair next to him, and there's a bag of Hershey's Kisses on the table. But that could be from anybody. 4. Styles waits until he's out of the hospital. He waits until he's finished with physical therapy, waits until he can move without pain, can run like he used to without getting out of breath, can hear someone walking up behind him without flinching, his heart racing in panic. He's seen Derek plenty, at the hospital, at pack meetings, a few times just the two of them grabbing food at a diner or at Styles' house when he was cooking enough to leave leftovers for a week. He waits, though. Styles is almost 18 years old, and he's learned to be patient. He's got no particular plan, nothing big or elaborate, just a vague idea in his mind that takes shape a little more each time Derek leans in to hear what Styles is saying, even though his hearing could catch footsteps from half a mile away. Styles waits until one night, they're in the frozen food section of the local supermarket, picking up stuff for a pack movie night, and Derek holds up the list compiled by the pack, and a box of dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets in the other and goes,
"Really?"
"I'm going to kiss you now," Styles says, and Derek jerks, although not away, and Styles is leaning forward, one hand on the pack of frozen smiley-faced French fries, and the other on Derek's waist. And he kisses him. It takes only a second before Derek drops the basket full of snack foods, wrapping his arms around Styles to pull him closer as he kisses back. Even better than the first time, Styles thinks distantly. Dirtier, definitely, with more intent. Derek presses Styles back against the glass door, and Styles resists the urge to just wrap his legs around Derek's waist. Instead, licking into Derek's mouth one last time before pulling back, knowing that his own lips must be just as swollen as Derek's, his cheeks flushed twice as red. "So, I'm thinking we've got, like, 4 hours of pack time before we can kick them out," Styles says, lifting up the frozen fries to press the cool package against his burning cheeks.
"Screw that," Derek says, pulling out his phone. "They can buy their own damn chicken nuggets."
Styles laughs and feels a strange swelling of joy that invades his stomach and chest and lungs, and he doesn't care if people at the end of the aisle give them looks or even tell his dad, because this is totally worth it. 5. "So then," Styles says, gesturing wildly with his fork, "my professor says, if Mr. Selinsky is such an expert in the field, perhaps he'd like to teach the class."
"Oh, God, I know where this is going,"
his dad groans, pressing one hand to the side of his face.
"Just wait. It gets better,"
Derek says, walking back into the kitchen and setting down a couple of beers. "Thanks," Styles says, absently turning to give Derek a peck on the lips. He freezes as he turns back, because for all that his dad is tentatively okay with this new arrangement, they've mostly avoided flaunting the details of it. His dad doesn't seem fazed, though, his expression expectant.
"So, what did you say to your professor?"
His dad prompts.
"What do you think I said?"
Stiles says, setting down his fork to reach over and grab Derek's hand. Derek entwines their fingers, taking a sip of his beer and raising an eyebrow.
"I said, well, expert is a relative term, as you've so clearly demonstrated."
"Oh, God," his dad groans.
"No, no," Stiles says. "Wait for it."
The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this story's post. Thanks for listening.